Hey, everybody, Sean Yeager here, recording a solo episode to do a bit of a recap of the first 12 episodes of Trust Revolution. But I first want to thank you if you have spent some time listening to the podcast. It's just beginning, and there are a lot of podcasts, great podcasts out there competing for your time and attention. So if you've invested some with me, I am grateful and I appreciate it. When I began Trust Revolution, I had an idea that it was worth taking a lot of what certainly I've benefited from, which is education, information from some fantastic individuals who have taught about the importance of freedom technology, broadly speaking, who've taught about the importance of Bitcoin, most notably, but really have shown me, and that has in turn greatly enhanced my life, what is possible when you take back ownership, you take back sovereignty over things like your money. And that is hard to overstate. It's hard to overemphasize how meaningful that can be, how important that can be. What I want to do uniquely, I hope, with Trust Revolution is to reach out to those of you who may be on the bubble. And for those who are deep down the proverbial rabbit hole, I hope to be able to deliver something of value to you as well. But really, it's those who are curious, who have an idea, an inkling that something is not quite right and there must be a better way. And the theme, the title, certainly Trust Revolution, and what I've written so far to convey the purpose is that it really is about acknowledging that the traditional institutions, be they government, media, corporations, have largely lost our trust. And we can, you know, rake the coals over with regard to how badly it has been damaged. But I think most of us, if we're reasonable, would say that we just do not trust those institutions as maybe we used to, certainly as our parents used to, as previous generations used to. Maybe that's a good thing. But on the bright side, there are tools and there are assets, there's education, so much out there that we can use should we choose. And so in season one, what I hope I've accomplished is to present a pretty broad array of interesting conversations, certainly with people that have taught me a lot, ranging from builders like Marx and Fran, who respectively are tackling private AI, AI with which we can share intimate details and know, certainly, cryptographically, certainly, that information is secure, is safe. To, in the case of Fran, reimagining what an app store could be, which may in some ways sound trivial, but you know, as much as we carry these things around and as much as we do with them, the way in which we are held captive largely by Apple and Google in terms of what we're allowed access to, something as simple as being able to pay for an application outside the rails, outside the realm of an Apple or Google, to being able to communicate in a way that we wish, to being able to say the things that we want, that has a really, really big impact on our day-to-day lives. We then have had conversations with futurists, Bronwyn Williams in South Africa, to John Robb, who is a former special ops operator and author and strategist who has presented some really interesting ideas in episode one about networked tribes, networked swarms, really. And so the idea that things are increasingly polarizing and that there are means of emphasizing a message that a particular tribe or swarm or controlling party wishes to get across, and that that is only going to be magnified and accelerated with AI. To conversations with a gentleman by the name of Rashad Tabakawala, who is a global executive consultant and has a very particular perspective on what AI and other technologies will do, what KYC looks like in the future, to a government insider, my most recent conversation in episode 12 with OpenState, who is a policy analyst and advisor in a government, we don't know which, but does work advising on things like anti-money laundering and KYC, which is a whole sort of basket of trouble that in many cases does far more harm than good. And I think that that is a statement I can make that's backed by data. So everywhere we look, from our money to the devices we carry with us every day in our pockets, to the way our money moves, to the conversations we have individually and in groups, these are controlled, manipulated, assailed in some cases, certainly surveilled. And so we have that as a backdrop. We have, for example, in my conversation with Matt Odell, who is a longtime Bitcoin advocate, educator, builder, investor, presented us with a number of options, but also presented, I think, us with a humbling assertion that perhaps only 5% of individuals who could embrace things like Bitcoin will choose to do that, but that the choice is ours and we can. So I can't say that there's been a straight line through these conversations, but it has absolutely been exploratory, and I hope it's been valuable to you. Again, I know for me, what it has done is sort of put some pieces on the board and created a sense of different perspectives from different angles and different roles and responsibilities, be it corporate to independent developer and hacker and builder. The themes that I see having come out that I'll just talk about for a minute. The first is that trust is eroding. We know that. And that centralization is largely the culprit. And so a theme of these conversations, a theme of, for example, the sorts of conversations that I might have on a daily or weekly basis at a place like Bitcoin Park, where I'm a member here in Nashville, are about decentralization, which is quite a buzzword, but I think it's one that's important to underscore, in that many of the challenges that we face are in that so much of our technology, so much of our culture, of our society has tended toward centralization. And there are many reasons for this, and there are many others who could speak more eloquently to it than I can, but that is just the state of affairs. And that in order to reclaim agency, in order to reclaim some of our own individual power, we need to turn away from that centralization, which means making hard choices. I will just illustrate with an example. After having iPhones since 2007, about a month ago, I personally made the switch to a Google Pixel, irony not lost on me, running something called Graphene OS, which is an alternative operating system that gives you immense control over how these apps communicate with each other, with the cloud, what data gets sent back to whom. And is it easy? Is it trivial? No. As I mentioned on Noster today, privacy is a luxury good. I aspire to be in a place where it is a commodity, but it's not. You know, I have the luxury of taking the time to set something like that up. I do appreciate that that is a luxury. I appreciate that that's a benefit that I have. It is not going to be something everyone has the time to do, but the tools are there. So I use that just as an illustration, is that, this centralizing nature of coming down to really two devices, be it an Apple or a Google device running Android, that is an example. The fact that so many of us turn to X, Twitter, Facebook, depending on really your demographic, your age group, that is also tremendously centralizing. There are alternatives. Here again, Noster, big fan, big user, big advocate. But it is choosing to, in some ways, leave behind these very, very large platforms and go somewhere where there is more freedom, where there is far, far, far less control. And certainly we think little to no surveillance going on, for example. So I think, the takeaway here is that in this first theme, trust is eroding. We know this. I believe if you're watching, if you're bothering to watch this, you would agree. And the work to be done is to decentralize. And again, that's far harder said than done, but that is essentially the theme and the work. The second is that, okay, so great. We have these options to, in many ways, decentralize communications, money, social media, identity. Talked with Dr. David Strayhorn, who is a neurologist, but also has poured really 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears into webs of trust. And that is to say, how do we create these emergent webs of relationships with individuals for whom we trust or that we trust in particular contexts. And so I trust Bob to be able to make great recommendations about where to stay in a particular city. I trust Alice to advise me on how to invest my money. Whatever these examples might be, the point is we can take back this trust and place it in the hands of those that we choose based on certain algorithms and data that we have access to and that is very transparent. So that's an example of a tool, of an option, of a choice we can make, but there's promise and there's peril. Peril in the sense, maybe overstating it, that It's tough. It's time consuming. It is non-trivial to make these choices. It's non-trivial to become educated and equipped to self-custody your money in the case of Bitcoin. But again, incredibly valuable. And I could go on for hours about why that is, but I want to keep this sort of high level. So that second theme, you know, again, is that, yes, there are tremendous options. There's great promise, but it is surprising to me to find in some of these conversations that many of these technologies are looked at as simply too nascent, too geeky, too out on the fringe by some of the folks that I've spoken with in the first 12 episodes. It doesn't surprise me, but I was hoping to be pleasantly surprised. But I think it's a good, humbling reminder of how early we are. But again, for those who choose to make these changes, the options are there and they're powerful. Another theme that I pulled out is that citizen action and transparency that we can bring about through this action is the kind of resistance that I think is going to be most powerful in bringing about change in institutions. And this is largely through my most recent conversation with Open State, the pseudonymous civil servant that I mentioned. He reminded us that it's not just pull out this piece of technology. It's not just use Signal for your conversations, your chats. It's going to be freedom of information requests. It's going to be putting pressure on elected officials. Can we do the same in media? Can we do the same thing for corporations? Obviously, it works a bit differently, but I think we can if we choose to. And that inaction is our greatest enemy. I'm just as guilty as anyone, but it was a great takeaway for me. That to simply shine light on the dark corners where a lot of the creeping surveillance and a lot of the trickery happens is a tremendous tool at our disposal should we choose to use it. Another conversation with Yael Osowski, who is deputy director at the Consumers Choice Center, is to remind us that in so much of the legislative work that organizations like his do, it is not to convince the government to permit us to do something. It is to restrain the government. And there, too, is a great reminder of the power that we have, that we are by design given, at least certainly in Western democracies and representative governments, that we do have that power, yeah, should we choose to exercise it, which I think is the critical piece. Another theme is the business and economic shifts that are happening in this world where trust is diminished and shrinking. I think that erosion is reshaping work, reshaping business. These particular guests, I'm thinking about Rashad and Bronwyn, showed that centralized models dominate because they're profitable. And that's no surprise, but it's, again, good to underscore. But cracks, you know, are forming. And I think that there are real challengers. AI, which is a central theme, and it is not surprising because it is everywhere all the time, that will make or break some of these corporations, some of these governments. It will, you know, deepfakes these 30, 60, 120 second videos that you can now create through Google VO3. Are, to my eyes, indistinguishable from reality. I think the vast majority of individuals would not be able to call out what is now AI-generated versus real. That is horrifying in some ways, but I think it's going to force, you know, much as literacy became a critical skill, much as media literacy became critical, perhaps in the 90s and 2000s, I think this new level of, let's call it AI literacy, will be crucial, not only for the workforce, but for individuals. and perhaps in a situation where we cannot simply and blindly trust what our eyes see, we will need to dig deeper. We'll need to look at things like cryptographically signed media that we have authenticity guaranteed, or rather presented to us. We have attribution that we can check and verify. So here too, don't trust, verify. I think that's the theme here. So with that, I'm jumping around a bit, but the idea is just to present what I took away from these first 12 conversations. And so when I set out to begin Trust Revolution, as I say, it was really to reach out to those of you who may be on the bubble. I hope it's given you some food for thought. I hope it's given you some tools and techniques to pursue this first season, as I'll call it. Really, the idea of a season is somewhat arbitrary, given that it's a new podcast and that it is a broader theme. You know, it's not a sort of a story-driven season where you would be able to have natural breakpoints. But the idea for me is to put some bookmarks on it and to say, okay, these first 12 episodes, these were discovery and these were exploratory. And certainly, as I say, it's been great for me. I've learned a lot. I hope it's been good and valuable for you. But I think what it has done is this. It has shown me that what is most promising and what's most interesting for me to pursue, and I hope in turn that will come through in you know, greater episodes and greater value, is to focus on the builders, the advocates, the cheerleaders, those who are showing the way to how we make change, how we take back control of what we trust, who we trust, what gets exposed about us to those who would presume to demand that we trust them. That, to me, is a particularly interesting sort of sub-thread. And so what I want to do going ahead is to double down there. And so the conversations I'll be having, the individuals that I'll be reaching out to have these conversations with, will be people who are pushing policy changes, people who are building alternatives, people who are educating and showing the way, with emphasis on translating this, you know, not going so deep that it's bewildering, but starting with why. Why does this matter? What are we attempting to address? And then highlighting some of the tools and the technologies and the changes that we can make. My closing and really single request, in addition to thanking you for your time, and I really do mean that, is let me know. Let me know who I should talk to. It's new. It's a new production. It's a new podcast. And so a lot of the outreach I have done, you win some, you lose some. There have been some great folks that I've been hoping to speak with that I haven't heard back from yet, at least. Conversely, for example, and I'm holding this fantastic book by Cory Doctorow, who I have followed for probably 20 years, and I'm really excited to speak with Cory later in the year. He coined this term. He's got some long-standing, fascinating perspectives on the harm that things like digital rights management have done in total when, you know, in a narrow scope, they've been promised and sold to us as saving industries. So again, if you have ideas about individuals you'd like for me to speak with, if you have folks that are lesser known that are doing great work, as I say, in advocacy, education, building, who are going to make changes, or rather, you know, enable us to make changes in who we trust and how we trust, then I'd love to hear from you. And you could do that by finding me on Noster at TrustRev, by emailing me hello@trustrevolution.co, or just go to trustrevolution.co. So thanks again, everyone. I look forward to bringing you some great, great episodes coming up very soon. I expect that season two will kick off by early August, but follow on Noster, follow on YouTube at TrustRev and trustrevolution.substack.com. Thanks. Talk to you soon.